as excited about the potential of summer school 2024 as I am. Here's what I know for sure. At summer school 2024, you're going to meet Sis. That's her name, Sis. Some call her Mrs. Samuel Tucker. But her journey really began as she came over the Ohio River and up through the creeks and the ditches that had filled with water from the winter melt of snow. As an adolescent who she didn't even know her age or her name, she ended up in a village called Snow Creek. Snow Creek was a village that was created by the abolitionists, the Quakers, that had settled the area. Sis had been separated from her family. She didn't know where they were. And while she traveled up the river with other people, she didn't really know them, and they really weren't a part of their story. So when she reached this particular farm that was owned by the Tuckers, one young man, a white young man, by the name of Samuel Tucker, looked out for this little adolescent. And he spent time with her because he could tell that she was an introvert and really shy and not knowing where her journey was going to take her. Was she going to go forward and go left on the White River and settle in central Indiana? Or was she going to go north with the rest of the people and end up in Detroit? Little did she know that she would stay right there in Snow Creek and become Mrs. Samuel Tucker, the man that gave her the name of a butterfly, told her what the flowers were called, and spent his life dedicated to her. All right, well, I hope you're now engaged and wanting to come and meet Sis, but here's what I want you to know. You're called to help us tell the story of her this summer. I'm asking people, if you have played in summer school before, that you come out once again and join us as a part of the cast and crew of Summer School 2024. We are telling stories that prove that this stuff works. We're going to be using the 29 inspirational writings that the Reverend Dr. Andriette published in the Science of Mind magazine in February as a part of our inspiration. But we're also going to be tapping in to our beloved friends at Imagining Justice to put their imprint on Summer School 2024. We're asking our practitioners to put their imprint on Summer School 2024. And youth and family will be putting their imprint on Summer School 2024. So the only thing that is missing is you. You may have a song to sing, spoken words to say, want to be a part of the storytelling as we tell the story of the people of Snow Creek, or whatever it is that you can give of your gift. You can be a moderator. You can be a part of the team. We want you to come and play because I am committed that Summer School 2024 is going to be the one that people are talking about for years to come. If you're up and want to be a part of it, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, because we're going to lock the doors. No one's going home without signing up. But here's what we're going to do. This afternoon from 12 to 1, we're going to have a gathering of those folks that have an interest in being a part of Summer School 2024. We'll talk about the calendar dates, the rehearsal dates, what it could look like. If you can't join us live in the room here at Racine, and I'm just going to take a little pause right now and say, if you haven't come back yet to church on Sunday morning, it's time to come back to church on Sunday morning. You are missing some love. You are missing some hugs. You are missing some interaction in this village that we call heart and soul. So get back here. But in the meantime, if you want to join us this afternoon, you can zoom in, and our folks are going to put it in the chat of how you can zoom in to be a part of the conversation. But I'd really love you to be able to be here from 12 to 1 today, if you possibly can. The dates of summer school 2024 are July 17th through August 14th. Five consecutive Wednesday evenings, as we've done it in the past. And it's going to be a hybrid experience. And what that means, it's going to be just like a Sunday morning. There'll be folks in the room, and there'll be folks online.
Good morning, heart and soul.
Good morning.
How did you wake up this morning? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. And I know you know this song, so you'll sing with me. Yes? Thank you. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. Come on, y'all. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All day long with my mind.
Sweet.
All day long with my mind stayed. Walking and talking with my mind stayed on spirit. Walking and talking with my mind stayed on spirit. Walking and talking with my mind stayed on spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mind stayed on spirit, being creative with my mind stayed on spirit, being creative with my mind stayed on spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. You do the next one. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Thomas. Now, that's what I'm talking about. How did you wake up this morning? Okay, so we're going to stop right there because, you know, we need to tell the truth. If we are going to be the demonstration that this stuff works, we have to be the demonstration that this stuff works. And what I mean by that, think about this for a moment. Do you believe that prayer works, or do you hope that prayer works? So that's what we're going to get into a little bit today, is like, how do we move from being the demonstration that we hope prayer works to being the demonstration that we absolutely know without question that fear works. And a part of that, a part of how we do that, is we look at the demonstration of what it is that we're already doing well. What is our spiritual practice? Now, here's the gift of this faith, this philosophy, this way of living that we call the science of mind, is we get to define how we engage our spiritual practice. We get to understand that we put together the portfolio of things that serve our life and our practices so that we can always be the demonstration. And so I'm going to show you today, with the help of my dear beloved friend Kiki, a little bit how we do it at Elder Pride. Elder Pride, you ask, what is that? Well, let me tell you. Elder Pride is a focused ministry of the Centers for Spiritual Living, of which I am the spiritual director. We have been gathering together for 4 years. And what I want you to know, that how we started out and what we thought we were going to be doing looks nothing like what we are actually doing. And that's just the way life is. But through it all, this group of folks were the demonstration that this stuff works. They decided in March of 2020 that through the next months of this thing called a pandemic that we were all experiencing, they were going to get together every day at 4 o'clock to support one another through the pandemic. This past March, they celebrated 4 years of getting together every day at 4 o'clock to pray, to discuss topics. They start out by going through the lesson of the day for whatever it is that we're reading, because Elder Pride is merely a cousin of Heart and Soul Center of Life. So whatever y'all reading, we're reading. So they read that, then they pray. They talk about the lesson of the day. They may talk about what is in the Science of Mind magazine. But most of all, they take a conscious look at what it would take to be the demonstration that this stuff works. So I'm asking Kiki to start with how they start every day. Kiki?
May 19. I surrender all fear, doubt, or uncertainty and accept the gift of life today. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. We should always keep in mind that we are beneficiaries of life. We do not put the chicken in the egg, nor the oak tree in the acorn. Rather, we take them out. We did not create the divine presence, nor the law of good. We commune with this presence and use the law. Therefore, Jesus said that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is our pleasure, our business to receive it. And in doing this, we follow the same method that any scientist would. For the scientist knows that he did not create the laws, that he uses the principles which he employs. It is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Today, I accept this kingdom, which is the pleasure of the Heavenly Father to give me, and I accept it in its fullness. Today shall contain joy and happiness. Today shall be filled with peace. And through it all, we will be running the silent power of spiritual forces, which will harmoniously and happily govern my thoughts, decisions, and acceptances, so that everything I do will be done without effort. I lay all weariness aside and accept the life-giving, invigorating, dynamic power of the Spirit, knowing that it vitalizes every organ of my body. It flows with power and strength and purpose through everything I do, even as it leads me gently down the pathway of life. Today is a day that God has made, and I am glad I am in it. And when evening comes, the cool shadows of peace shall fall across my pathway, and the quiet of the night shall enter into my soul, while the beatitude of the Spirit flows through me as a river of life. And this was an excerpt from 365 Days of Richer Living, Ernest Holmes, Raymond Charles Barker, Lloyd George Tupper, and Kathy Hearn.
Thank you, Pete. Now, if you listened, you heard that you have been called to be the demonstration, to be the example in that lesson for today. This is the day that the Lord has made, as many of us heard in many of our churches as we grew up. That is indeed the truth. We have been given responsibilities to show up and to be the demonstration that the law works. Now, some of us are going, well, Reverend Jack, not today, but maybe September. I got some stuff going on in my life right now, and so I really need to put the focus on that. And, you know, and no. Just as you are right now, you are called to be the demonstration. So, what's the obstacle to that? What is the obstacle to saying, okay, I'm ready, let me go, what more can I do? How can I show the world that this faith, this philosophy, this way of living absolutely can transform the world? Well, you got to pray about that to be shown. But one of the things that is an absolute truth, you have to think you deserve to be the example that you've called to be. So right now I want you to say, I deserve to be.
I deserve to be.
All that I have called to be.
All that I have called to be.
And so now I want you to listen to the second prayer the folks at Elder Pride do every day. And you've heard it before in some other formation, but we call it the deservability prayer. Kiki?
My life, my way, this is my legacy. My intention is to treat myself with the same love, compassion, empathy, and understanding that I bestow upon others. This is my prayer for my highest and best. I am worthy. And I deserve all good, not some, not a little bit, but all good. I now move past all negative, restricting thoughts. I release and let go of any limitations held by my parents, my children, my ancestors, my family, or friends. I love them, I bless them, and I go beyond their negative opinions and limiting beliefs. I am not bound by any of the fears or prejudices of the current society I live in. I no longer identify with limitations of any kind. I take dominion of my life, right here, right now. In my mind, I have total freedom. I now move into a new space of consciousness, where I am willing to see myself differently. I am willing to create new thoughts about myself and about my life. My new thinking becomes new experiences. I now accept and affirm that I am at one with the prospering power of the universe. As such, I now prosper in a number of ways. The totality of possibilities lies before me. I deserve a good life. I deserve a rich life. I deserve love and abundance of love. I deserve good health. I deserve to live comfortably and to prosper. I deserve joy and happiness. I deserve freedom to be all that I can be. I deserve more than that. I deserve all good. The universe is more than willing to manifest my intention to live my life my way, for my way is God's way. This is my time, my calling, and my legacy. And I accept the abundant life with joy, pleasure, gratitude, for I am deserving. I accept it. I know it to be true. And so it is.
So you see the shift in that? If you say those words out loud every day for 4 years, do you think you might believe it? Do you think it will make such an impress on your soul that you cannot be anything else but the example of that? That's what we're talking about here. We either believe this stuff works or we don't. Either way, we are demonstrating that to be true. We are demonstrating our doubts. We are demonstrating our fears. We are demonstrating our insecurity. If we're not affirming the good news and proclaiming that this is the day that God has made and taking it on, then we're proclaiming the opposite of that. If you wonder why you live in a world that doesn't see, you know, you may not be telling other people what's not working in your life because you don't want to be judged by somebody else to saying, well, you know, I'm not going to share that with Suzette because she's a master prayerful person and I don't want her to think that I'm not manifesting the way that she's manifesting. Okay, that's some stinking thinking there. Because as we move into a new age, we have to start telling the truth on a whole new level. And I'm here to tell you, I know that for some of us, we proclaim it to be a victory any morning that we get our left leg into the left leg of our underwear and they're facing out the right way. Am I making that up? No. And so we have to understand that a part of how we get from where we are to where we want to be is to tell the truth about what is going on. I'm having a day filled with doubt. I listened to too much news yesterday. You know, because what I know is the world is a manifestation of our beliefs. And we have to be accountable for how the world is because we are called to be accountable for how the world is. Okay? And to be quiet, to say nothing, serves no one. We are called to be students of history and to really understand what really is the truth about the history of the world. The Roman Empire was neither Roman or an empire. The famous Cleopatra that we knew and heard about, the Queen of Egypt, was the seventh Cleopatra, and she was not even Egyptian. So we have to be in this place where we can look at this history and kind of go, well, isn't that interesting? But what's my takeaway? What is my takeaway from the lesson that was being endeavored to be taught here? In some things, we know that if we're silent about it, if we don't learn about it, we will repeat it until we get it. And so one of the things that we want to look at is we had this audacious statement through the Centers for Spiritual Living that we want to be about being the demonstration of how to create a world that works for all. Well, that does mean for all. That doesn't mean just for the people that we like. It doesn't mean just for the people that voted the way that we did. It doesn't even mean that we can exclude the people that hate us. We have to be expansive in how we show up into the world, that, as my dear friend Patricia would say, none of that gets on us. We can be the demonstration that, you're not taking my world from me. You're not being the one that says that I can't worship the way that I want to, even if I decide that I don't want to. I get to do that. But we have to start visualizing and imagining what would a world that works for all even look like. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to come around to how you believe the world will work. It is going to be a collective action of where we take what works for everyone and blend that together in a beautiful tapestry. So, the other prayer that the folks at Elder Pride, the folks that are elder LGBTQ plus queer identifying people and those that love them have, is a prayer for their country. And I'm going to ask Kiki now if she will read the prayer for our country.
My prayer for the world, inspired by the words of Reverend Dr. Ernest Holmes, believing in the divine destiny of the world and in the preservation of liberty, security, and self-expression, I offer this, my prayer for the world. I know that divine intelligence governs the destiny of the world, directing the thought and the activity of all who guide its affairs. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are the gifts of freedom and are the divine heritage of everyone in the world. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are now operating in the affairs of every individual in the world. I know that divine guidance enlightens the collective mind of the people of the world, causing it to know that economic security may come to all without the loss of either personal freedom or individual self-expression. I know that no one can believe or be led to believe that freedom must be surrendered in order to ensure economic security for all. The all-knowing mind of God contains the answer to every problem which confronts the world. I know that every leader in the world is now directed to this all-knowing mind and has the knowledge of a complete solution to every problem, and each is compelled to act upon this knowledge to the end. That abundance, security, and peace shall come to all. And I know that this spiritual democracy shall endure, guaranteeing to everyone in the world personal liberty, happiness, and self-expression. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Kiki. I'm one of those people that believe that Kiki has this magnificent voice that should be the voice of CNN, so we're going to call it the voice of HSCL right now, to where you really hear it. But I hope the words resonate with you. They resonate with you that this is not a spiritual center where you come together to get a nice little affirmation and an affirming message that you can take home and put on the refrigerator and glance up this week and feel a little bit better about your life. That may be where you start. And if that's where you're starting, that's okay. Sometimes we have to go to that very basic thing where all that we can muster up in our words is to say, God is my source. And we have the faith that the rest will show up to take that one step. But we are living in a time where we are called to be the demonstration. We are called to believe that we are one of the only faith communities on the planet that absolutely holds the idea that we could create a world that works for all without converting everyone to one particular point of view. That's kind of audacious. And that's kind of like who we are as a community. So we have to step into that. And so we have to look at our daily lives and look at those things that happen on a daily basis that might be guiding us in a direction away from that ever manifesting. So what do I mean by that? Well, as we talk in many a summer school, there's some forgiveness that has to happen. There are some folks that, you know, guess what? They're not going to change. We just got to forgive them so that we can move on. We've got to really take that introspective look at how can I be the demonstration even through this? Whatever that challenge, whatever is going on in your life right here, right now, that seems to be really manifesting as being a big obstacle, a big challenge, a big confrontation, a big something that might take you out for a minute, forgive that. Let that go. You already know from your collective life experiences, 5 years from now, you'll have to remember back to how you felt about whatever that is that's going on right now. And then you get to take that next introspective look and go, okay, let me look at my life and let me look at how many times have I had this same challenge and this same opportunity. What do I need to do differently to be the demonstration that this stuff works? Do I need to modify my practice a little bit? Do I need to change a little something about what I speak out into the world so that I can cause this shift? It's like, I don't want this same relationship lesson again. I don't want this same financial challenge again. You know, channel some Scarlett O'Hara and say, as God is my witness, I will not go through this again. And then figure out what you have to do in your life so that won't be the case. Now, we continue to learn, and it's like one of the things that I have chuckled about and had many conversations with those of a certain age group, that little did I know that when we're in our 70s, people were going to act the same way they did when we were 12 on the playground. Look at people being people. We like to, I'm not one for gossip, so I'm only going to say this once. You know, and then we get a little spiritual with it, and it's like, well, you know, I'm only telling you it's for your highest and best. Really? So our only answer to those kind of questions should be, so how am I supposed to feel about that? What is your real message for me in that? You know, we are in it to win it. We are in it to be the demonstration that this philosophy that we call science of mind truly does work. It's not just a feel-good thing. It's a way of living. And I remember it. I'm going to leave you with a story that I probably have told you before. So buckle up, because that's one of the gifts of being older and being an elder. I get to tell the same stories over and over again, and I get to say to you, well, you didn't get it the first time, so I have to say it again. So pay attention this time. But when I was early on in my teaching, I was in the classes Mastery of Faith with Terry Cole Whitaker, sitting beside Tyrone Cozy and the Reverend Dr. Andriette Earle. As we started this journey, we started to pray an affirmative prayer. And we started to learn the laws of affirmative prayer and really hone that in. And that summer, I decided that I was going to engage in something that was on my vision board that I wanted to do. And I want you to pay attention with what I'm about to say. I put on that vision board back in 1983 that I wanted to do something special with theater in the summer, kind of a summer school theater. So I thought, and instead of letting Spirit manifest that, that I would have to go out and do it on my own. So I found Kings Canyon Summer Camp up in Kings Canyon, you know, somewhere over by Merced in Fresno. And I signed up to go and teach children's theater. And so I signed the contract and I got there. And, you know, the instructor of the camp said to me, now, you know, every week will be 100 different children coming through the camp for the 12 weeks of the summer. So you have to understand that some weeks, some kids may not sign up for the summer theater camp, but that's okay. We'll keep you employed and, you know, it'll all be well. So the first week comes, not one child signs up for summer theater camp. So I go, okay, that's what she said. I can expect this. This is all good. And I cleaned out their barn that had all the props. I organized all the paints for the scenes and the flats. And I organized the sheet music, and I did a lot of reading of the books that I brought. And that group of kids went away. The next Sunday, orientation was happening. We give our presentation, and all happens, and not one child signs up for summer theater camp. So I spent some time that week walking in the woods, getting to know nature, listening to the sounds, praying every day, enhancing my spiritual practice, and the next Sunday, no children signed up for summer theater. And when I looked at it, I realized that, why would they? They come to camp, to canoe, to do the things outside. They didn't necessarily want to put on a little summer theater camp. And just as I had that realization, the camp manager came to me and said, well, Jack, we're not going to continue. Well, that was fine, except I'm by myself in Kings Canyon. My partner had left to go on vacation, knowing that I was going to be gone for 12 weeks. I had no way to get from Kings Canyon back to civilization, as they call it. And about that time, I hear this Volkswagen Beetle kind of putter up the side of the building that we were in. And this little woman driving the thing could have been the perfect hippie out of a 1968 movie saying, you need a ride? And I thought, look at God being God, as Brandon McKenzie would say. And so I said, sure, can you give me a ride down to the train station in Merced? Sure. Come along. So I get in this woman's Volkswagen and realize that she had been let go as the cook because, well, let's just say she was smoking a substance out behind the building a little too frequently, and they didn't think that was the best image for the children to be seen. So we're coming down Highway 99, and it's like 110 degrees, and we're going along. And of course, this 1963 Volkswagen Beetle has no air conditioning. And I'm going, just get me to where I can get to a train. Just get me to where I can get to a train. You know, manifesting that. And I hear, pop! Plop, 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 plop. And I said, do you have a spare? And she goes, of course I have a spare. What I don't have is a jack. And she didn't mean me. But I was all she had. So I thought, okay, what have I been taught? I have been taught that in this kind of affirmative prayer, I don't remember how many you got in life, but you can make a demand on the universe. And I said, what is it we need? She goes, well, that's going to be tough because we actually need another Volkswagen Beetle to come along because the jack on a Volkswagen Beetle is very unique and it's only that kind. And I thought, of course. And so I get out of the car and I say, universe, I demand another Volkswagen Beetle show up right here, right now to get me out of this. And I turned and looked, and over the hill came a Volkswagen Beetle with the turn signal already on. He pulls in behind us, gets out of his car with the jack in hand. And I say to myself, this works. I hope I did not just waste my one lifetime demand on the universe. But I thought, this has to be coincidence. It's a coincidence. He walks over, he bends down, he puts the jack in, he puts the spare on, and I go in my pocket, and I have a $20 bill, and I go to pull it out, and he goes, put that back in your pocket. You know why I'm here. Pay it forward. And he goes and he gets back in his car and he pulls off. And I look back at my driver and she goes, what church did you say you went? And I said, it's called the science of mind. So I say that to say, we are capable being the demonstration of whatever is called upon us to be the demonstration of, if we're willing. If we're willing. We may have to make a demand on the universe to say, okay, God, I have no idea how to do what you're calling me to do, but I have the absolute faith that you will show me the way. So let me step out. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm stepping out to be the demonstration that you will guide me. You will show me the way. You will be the words to inspire me to be the way. Because I know and believe in my heart that every word I speak is a prayer. And the world has been made the way that it is because it has responded to every prayer that has been uttered. So we know that in order to create a world that works for all, we got to pray louder and bigger and being the demonstration that prayer works. If you have not prayed today, pray now. If there is something going on in your life right now that seems that I don't even want to tell anyone, get thee to the prayer room now. Fill out the prayer request now, because that is stifling you. That is causing you to be stuck in that eddy of despair, and you are not called to be the demonstration of how to flounder about. That's already been done. You have been called to be the demonstration that this faith, this philosophy, this way of living is transformative. It is inclusive. It is empowering. And it is indeed the demonstration that this world can and will work for all. And so it is. Thank you. I'm going to ask my favorite neighbor in the world, Karen Smith, to come back up and to bring us home.
Where I am, where I breathe, me and where I sin. Speak truth is where I work. Love is my career. Where I play, God is playing. God is.